Hello, 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 and welcome to the My Empty Hands podcast. Conversations about Kenpo and the martial arts and whatever else happens to come our way. So I've got Christy here, and you know, I'm so bad podcasting here and no show prep. So this is showing my white belt, but I didn't ask you about your last name. So
Patagimus.
Okay, there we go. I'm terrible with names, so, you know.
That's okay. Power in the name.
Not going to attempt it right now. We'll practice it out afterwards.
Definitely. It's a mouthful. It actually took me a long time to get used to, too. In fact, actually, we call him Master Herb instead of Patagimus, so.
Gotcha. Excellent. So just to kind of give a little bit of my background before we get into your story and your journey. So I started in the early mid-90s at a school that was essentially a Tracy's school. Did that for a few years, got my green belt, and then shipped off for the Army. While I was in the Army, I did some Hapkido and some Taekwondo and a little bit of boxing. After I got out of the military, I then found myself training in Capoeira, and I've been doing that coming up on 17 years now. It'll be 17 in November, so been enjoying that. Always kept my love for Kenpo, and so when I found a school out here about 2-3 years ago, jumped right on and have been enjoying that training. It's definitely been an eye-opening and a different experience for me. Just even though it's still Kenpo and still traces back to Ed Parker, the two schools are very much different in the curriculum, and just been getting a lot more mental overload than I did in my original training. So been excited about that. Yeah, just working my way through. Just got my green belt recently, and as of this recording, just got my first technique, dominating circles. I am on that path to brown belt and beyond. So excited about that. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And we'll as we go along, we'll get into whatever more detail, but I want to hear your story. How did Kenpo find you, and how did you find Kenpo, and how did it all start for you?
I have four boys, well, two girls too, but four boys, and they wanted to do karate forever, but I didn't find it in my small town. Lo and behold, it was in my small town. I just didn't know it, because sometimes these instructors are kind of like laying low, right? Mm-hmm. And so I didn't want to drive them all the way to the other cities that had it that were close by me. So I kind of kept putting it off. And then as they got older, we always do a year theme with our family. And it was 2016, and we called it the Extreme 2016. And I said, okay, let's just get all extreme. Let's get crazy. And anytime you pick a word, a lot of stuff's going to start coming to you, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to be careful what you decide you're going to have. Lo and behold, I found out that we had Kenpo and we had karate in our small town in Blackfoot, Idaho. That's where I'm at. And I decided, I called him up. I said, hey, I've got these kids, these boys, they want to come do this. First class, I just sat on the bench. I didn't pick Kenpo for myself from the very beginning. In fact, I stick to the story that Kenpo picked me. And all of a sudden, I'm coming to this next class, and I didn't have time to even talk to the instructor because he had a little kid class right before it. And I come in, right? And he has them sitting around in a circle, like around this flame of a candle, meditating. And these are 4 and 5 year olds. Okay. And I'm like, dude, how is he even making them sit like that, and like, listen, first of all. And then we did class. And then he had another class after that, an adult class. And I left. So I was like, okay. But when I first went in there, I just felt my heart like literally jump. Like I just, it was crazy. So when I went home and I was just kind of pondering everything and like thinking, okay, because, you know, like the first class is free and then you can decide if you want to do it or not. You know, I was like, dang, I was saying my prayers and I'm like, I want a piece of this. Like, I have been working on this type of a connection or this feeling that you get forever, like trying to find that. And then bam, it happened. And so it's just kind of started from there. I mean, the first couple of years, obviously I was just a busy mom. I just took kid class. I mean, it's fun because we still have a student that I train with and he is 19 now. And he literally helped me when he was like, how many years? Like, he was only like 9 and he literally taught me form one. Like, it's just awesome to see. I just love it because he was so prepared. And I love that how when you come, it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your size. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. Like, everyone comes together to try to empower each other. And that feeling of that, like, to be prepared to, I don't know, just be ready, have that confidence. It leads into so much of your life. And so from there, that's the only thing I have studied. Well, now I'm starting to branch out into a couple other things. But so I've been with American Kenpo the whole time of my Kenpo journey or my martial arts journey thus far. And it doesn't seem like very long. I did the kid class for a while and I finally loved myself enough to start going to adult class and I wanted to gain more knowledge. And when I started doing that, it opened my eyes and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And so I study under Master Herb Patagemas. I'm now married to him and that's a whole nother story, but I know that this is part of my life mission or for me as my own personal journey, but then also to help others with their personal journey. And so I've loved instructing. I would come to class and just help teach in that class. And I learned right along with 4 and 5 and then 7 and 8 and then adults. And so it's been a pretty fun experience to do that. And now I'm instructing a lot. I made a goal to become a black belt when I turned 50 and I met that goal. And see, it still brings up pretty strong emotions for me.
Yeah.
No, because it's a hard thing. It's not an easy thing. Kenpo is not an easy path, but a beautiful one in that sense. One of my favorite things is I remember I was working on my blue belt and I got the new technique of flight to freedom and is an arm bar from behind your back. And, you know, this guy that you're fighting is a lot better. So I'm coming back and they catch it. So I'm not able to do what I usually could do because he's a really good fighter. And when I did that technique and the way that it was instructed to me, and just pondering it and you go home and you're practicing it right and you're making it part of your practice. I literally started almost getting these like, wow, this is like real, like this is alive. And there's always that technique or something that sets somebody on fire. And at that point I was like, oh my gosh, like I can make this happen for real. Like I can defend myself. You know what I mean? I can manipulate somebody. I can break somebody's arm. So I better learn how to not do it if I don't want to, first of all, and how far would I have to go and read that intent. And now, especially when I got my black belt now it's opened a whole new huge window for me that I'm just beginning. Like I'm just at this very little tiny opportunity to keep going. And that's what I love. Cause so now even when I have kids or parents are talking and bringing their kids to Kenpo, I am like, you know, if you only do this for a week or a month or a year or the rest of your life, it will stay with you. Like it is a part of you. It's motion. I mean, you talked about how right now it's kind of like an overload, right? Why? Because it's based on principles and it's based on motion, right?
Exactly.
So do you feel like that's why it's overloading to you or like?
Well, there's a couple of aspects. One, in my original school, we did not do terminology. We didn't do pledges. You know, we didn't go over the principles. It was just more, you know, you learn your basics, you learn your techniques, you learn your forms, and that's, you know, kind of it. We did, you know,
angles,
you know, building our own kind of tech, you know, building our learning how to use the techniques and kind of coming up with our own, you know, own methods of execution and whatnot, but we didn't, you know, get into that. Wasn't really the mental part of it. So now, you know, that's where I appreciate it, and I love, you know, learning the terminologies and sayings and all that. But it's just my I guess I have a lot of that muscle memory from before, and it doesn't want to allow this new information to come in. So,
because
just taking
it
bits and pieces. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's what I
love
about it.
I've been integrating it and kind of going from there.
Yeah. But, that's what I love about it too. And I remember so earlier in my journey, so I went actually, so I studied under Herb Pataginas, who studied under Paul Mills. And he actually did the IKKA until he went with Paul Mills with the AKKI. And when I was going for my purple belt, we headed up to Evanston. And I still remember coming in to something that was a lot bigger than small town Blackfoot, right? And they had talked about stories and this and that, you know, and here I am, you know, like idolizing a man I'd never even met, right? And I come in and I'm just like, complete overload, complete overwhelm. And then honestly, we started recognizing like, okay, who's laying low in Idaho? Like our instructor, like was just, we didn't know he was part of something bigger. Does that make sense? Until we were there. And then all of a sudden, all the stories and all everything kind of came into play and enjoyed my time there, loved it. Then when I went for my brown belt, that was my next belt level. The rest I did in a school level, you know what I mean, under our instructor. And then I went for my brown belt. I am testing for my brown belt and I'm literally standing front face in front of Paul Mills and a very extensive board of top black belts. And it was very unnerving and very overwhelming. And I just knew that what they were looking at mostly, because they always tell you, right? As soon as you do your opening, right? And you come around to that opening, they already know if you're going to pass your test or not. Like they're looking at motion. They're looking at angles. They're looking at all of that. And I'm like, okay, I got this. I got this. Even if I'm going to run out of steam later, I've got this. But then he asked me to do anybody that had the knife dexterity set. Well, we worked on that. And that was kind of his baby, right? And so I did that. And of course, how did I end up being right in front of him? But I am. And then after that, I was not prepared at all because he asked us to do, and now I know in the martial arts world, this is what they do all the time to you, right? They throw something crazy at you to see how you react, if you can act under pressure. And he asked us to do a personal knife form. What? I have never, I've only been taught, right? And mimicked yeah. and learned and did a set how I was taught or did a form. I didn't know about like doing your own thing. I mean, we had been practicing like personal forms with techniques, but I was like, oh man. So here I was trying to perform in front of a grandmaster, a knife, you know, a knife personal form. And I did. I felt really good about it. I probably should go look for that video. That would be interesting now that I'm just thinking about it, because it'd be yeah. interesting to see how really unconfident I probably looked. But that was just kind of one of my things. And I remember that seminar and I, you know, getting my brown belt from him was pretty amazing. And we asked him, honestly, to go our biggest thing. So me and the other girls that were there, we had walked in there and we felt like, oh my gosh, like we see a lot of body and mind stuff going on, but we didn't see a lot of that body, mind, and spirit that everybody kept talking to us about. You know what I mean? And we're like, ooh, we can add to this. We can add the spirit, you know, the more, not just giving attaboys, but like more of that cheering or inspiring or empowering or lifting. Because women have that opportunity of nurturing. And I have seen since I've started Kempo, the women in Kempo are going crazy. I don't know if you've noticed that, Reggie, but like there's some yeah. amazing Kempo oh, yeah. women sure. out there.
For sure,
and
for sure.
I idolize them. Now, I still idolize the guys, obviously, too. And I'm like trying to go to different seminars all the time. In fact, for my birthday 2 years ago, that's what I wanted to do, was go to the Unified Grand Masters that Sam Ellis put on. And that's what I wanted to do. And Herb at the time was like, oh, I don't know. Like, I've been there, done that. Cause like he'd done all these tournaments and did this and that, but I'm like still super excited. Right. And I loved going there, and he ended up loving it because he connected with all these people that he remembers from, you know, training with and going to tournaments and beating on each other. And I was amazed. And that's where my heart fell in love with creating something, or I pledged to myself and anybody and everybody would be able to be welcome to train with me. I want to feel, I love the fact that I was welcome to train with others. Back in the day, remember, it was like you were with this person and you only stayed with that person and you don't deviate from that person and you better listen, and you know what I mean? But now we're opening a whole new world, especially when you're doing these podcasts like this, to be able to unify, get on the mat, to learn from them. Maybe this person that has studied this Tai Chi has that little missing piece that I need in my Kenpo, that extra tool that I need, you know? And so now that's why we're creating a whole Kenpo alliance, kind of like what you're doing exactly right here, and welcoming as many people as we can, because we do all have these gifts and talents. And I feel like that was Ed Parker, because that's part of my lineage too, through our instructors, that's really his vision for everything anyways. And he's like smiling on us from heaven, right? All of us perpetuating this art and helping other people learn and grow. And I don't know, it just keeps that flame. They talk about the flame, right? It keeps it burning. It's all about the future. Like, what are we going to do next? Like, how are we going to make this better? How are we going to adapt to the world today? How are we going to create peace in the world? Because everyone talks about it, but we have to do something about it, you know, instead of just talking about it. So, and I've only done two tournaments now. So because of COVID in my journey, it kind of shut down a lot of that, right? And now everybody's starting to open up with that. I can see how everybody's going to pick and choose where they want to be. If they want to learn how to do things with, you know, you're doing Empty Hands podcast, but if they want to do something with clubs, they're able to pull that in and have that too. And I just started actually a new program that is pretty new, that a lot of people don't even know about. And it's Ed Parker Jr.'s. Are you familiar with his Paxtal Arts?
Yes. And very different approach.
Yeah, you've kind of seen that. And so it's been kind of fun to kind of throw that into my journey. And we just had a class this morning, so that's why it's popping into my head mostly. But I love it because it's kind of brings back some of that manipulation. You're able to get into the philosophy of it, the mind. And honestly, that's all they've explored with it too. But I'm super excited to see where it goes, because I teach a lot of kids. I have a little ninja class and young kids, and they do want a more of a peaceful win-win situation, but they don't want to also just give in to everybody, right? You know, that's what Kenpo's about, self-defense. And so I'm trying to see what I can do as an individual in martial arts with my gifts and talents to add to that, or to add more, like kind of how you're doing this podcasting. And I love the whole idea about motion. I think kids should be moving around. They should have more opportunity to explore their motion and make it their own Kenpo. Because sometimes if you wait too long, then you miss that window of having that imagination, right?
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to kind of go back and hit a few things that you mentioned that just, you know, had got me thinking, and wanted to make sure I brought them up before I forget. One of them being I'm totally with you about getting the black belt before 50. I just turned 46. And so
you got
this. hoping to get to black before I reach 50. And it made me think about, I believe it's searching for Mr. Miyagi. It's a, you know, little documentary film, and the gentleman in there, gosh, what was he training in? I want to say Shotokan. I can't believe I'm forgetting it, 'cause I just watched it the other day, but, he was training in a style like that, and he was closing in on 50, and he wanted to get to his black belt before he reached it. And you know, I won't spoil it for those that haven't seen it, but it was very interesting, but also kind of frustrating because he had mentioned he was talking about one of his tests. I believe it was one of his brown belt tests. He was like, oh yeah. And you know, they're going to ask me to, you know, the board is going to ask me to do, you know, all my various moves and things like that. And it's like, oh, you know, it's going to take like 15 minutes for this test. And I'm like, excuse me, 15 minutes for a brown belt test? I mean, my blue belt test was like 4 hours. My green belt test was 5. I take offense with this. So that I had some problem with that, but it's a good, you know, good watch. So definitely check that out. The other thing that came to mind was the personal form. I really like the fact that, you know, they put you on the spot and that you had to use your mind. You know, too much these days, we just kind of robot each other and just kind of want somebody else to, you know, figure that out. So having to actually, you know, part of doing this training is so that we can use our own mind, we can think, and we can, you know, tailor this to us. You know, what's going to work for me is not going to work for you, and vice versa. And we really have to customize the art. And, you know, yeah, we have all these techniques, but, you know, just memorizing the techniques and memorizing these patterns doesn't help us when we have to actually use this information. We have to be able to know how to think. You know, we know not just the how, but the why. And I think that's crucial in doing the training and developing the confidence and just that mental to help improve the physical and improve the abilities and all that. So good on them to ask that of you, and good of you to be able to do that.
Well, because sometimes we've got to remember, and I don't want to ever do this again or do this to others. We want to strengthen them, not just make them a follower. And I love the idea that I learned, and now I'm trying to instill too in the ones that I teach, that we're teaching instructors. We're not teaching students. We're teaching somebody. They might just only be teaching their mom or their spouse or something, but they're still going to be instructing and helping others to be ready, even if they don't run a dojo.
Exactly. Yeah. It's actually kind of similar to, so one of the, you know, I jokingly say that I wish there was 40 hours in a day, because there's not enough time for me to do everything that, you know, I love Kenpo, I love Capoeira, I love martial arts, and I wish I could do them all. And I keep trying. I have to stop myself because I'm looking at websites and trying to visit schools and various things. But one of the things that I recently did a Kali seminar, and it was like, I've always been a big fan of the Filipino martial arts and would certainly like to do more of that. But at the seminar, the instructor was talking about that they have Graham programmed through him. And I was like, ooh, like I want to get into that. But it's like, okay, but you know, I'm doing my Kenpo, you know, a couple times a week. I'm doing, you know, my Capoeira, and I still have a day job. And
I really had to trust the timing. Yeah, we have to trust the timing on that really a lot. And that's kind of why us girls, we decided that we wanted to start doing seminars too. Like, and we have our top back belts that teach the seminars. Plus, we always try to include a guest to kind of give some new flavor. And I just love it. Because what happened is down here in our Utah, Idaho area and stuff, we needed more opportunity to learn and grow. Like, I mean, I remember going to a seminar when I was a yellow belt, and it was with Mr. Randall McKay in Utah. And he like literally just blew my mind. Like, wow, okay. You know what I mean? And he was still so good to me, to a yellow belt. Do you know what I mean? Here's an upper belt being so responsive and caring about where I would go, not even knowing if I was going to be a lifetimer or a hit and miss. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I felt welcomed and appreciated for like what I was trying to do, because it is a big thing. I mean, what's the most important belt? Our white belt, when we decide to try something new and hard and make it happen. And so, but then when we started doing these seminars now too, and thinking about it, it's just, you know, we ended up having so many, well, Herb ended up having black belts that have black belts that now are teaching and getting black belts. So you're getting so many more people, and we need to have an opportunity out here so that we could get grow. And we're hoping like to bring more people from other places. We even have this guy that's here from France, and he studied with Belmond. I don't know if you've seen him on, he does a lot of things, and through an international direction. And it's been amazing just to have more, somebody new that's come from other instructors to bring us new ideas. And we have a couple other black belts now in our classes that have come from different arts. And it's fabulous to be able to integrate their type of motion or how they perceive it or how they're using it and seeing if it works for us, you know? And I'm hoping that that will be what everybody will start doing, that will keep each other on this energetic cycle of being excited about what the future is to bring and how we can create more of a peaceful, or disperse all the negativity in the world, make it more of a positive. Cause that's what I used to call it. Like, I'm like, I just need my positive hour. I need to go to Kempo. Exactly. I need some positivity, or I need to go practice my Kempo, because I got to get back into a good mindset.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It just dawned on me that I didn't get to my thought that I was trying to get to when I was talking about the Kali. So
good, yes.
the big thing with this particular Kali program is that they say, you know, you learn to teach and you teach to learn. So they're very focused on getting you to the point where you can in turn, you know, be an instructor, and to really grasp the material, you got to teach it. So they get you to the point where, you know, where you're teaching, and then that in turn helps you learn. And yeah, I'm a big fan of that model. When I originally was doing Kempo, I didn't get to join the instructor program just because I was leaving for the army. I knew I was leaving for the army, so I didn't want to get, you know, tied up in being an instructor. And then it's like, okay, well, you know, yeah, I got to train you for the last month, but now I got to leave. So I didn't get involved then, but since doing kind of the other arts and kind of doing some kind of things on my own, I, you know, would kind of help teach and stuff. And then once I got into Capoeira, I ended up, kind of a long story, but I essentially kind of inherited the group that I was a part of. And so that thrust me into teaching. And so, you know, I did
that's usually how it always happens. Thank you for your service too. Thank you so much for your service.
So yeah, I you know, was found myself in the instructor role. And yeah, you gain so much more by, you know, having to explain it to somebody else and having to show, you know, lead the way for someone else, that it gives you such a greater experience. Now, you know, at my current school, I'm in the instructor program in my current school now. So, you know, I'm excited to help, you know, pass on these things that I'm learning. But, you know, also there's a little bit of nervousness, just because it's like, okay, now I'm in that position. Yeah. In that responsibility, and which I found it kind of, I don't know, I found it kind of funny when I was about to test, because the first time that I, when I originally tested for green belt, I mean, I it was a, you know, it's a big test, and I, you know, was very aware that, okay, like this is now, you know, advanced level. And there was a little bit of nervousness, but not so much. But this more recent time around felt a bit more nervousness. And I think probably a little bit subconsciously and consciously was that, okay, now, you know, I'm really in that position, to lead, where before it's like, yes, I'm a leader, but maybe I'm not, I guess not forced to be, well, I shouldn't say forced, but it was less real because I knew I was leaving. And so now it's like, I've got nowhere to go. Like this is the school that I'm at, and this is where I'm going to be. And yeah, now for reals, I'm being looked to, you know, that role model, that teacher, that leader. And so it was a little more nerve-wracking this go around.
Yeah. And I kind of see that it kind of is like the seasons of our life. As we progress on this journey, we do take that opportunity, because I'm kind of in a particular spot right now where I'm having to kind of reverse back. I got teaching a lot and I kind of lost my personal training. I was still learning a lot, like teaching, right? But then I wasn't finding the time, or I was like, oh, I got my Kempo done. I taught this class, da da da. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But there's a big, you have to be careful, because we have to weigh and create that balance in our life with how much I'm still working on my personal journey and help lifting others. And you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's been interesting for me to incorporate back into, if I want to go to the next level, if I need to get my emotion, if I ever want to have it, then I've got to stay practicing and getting deeper, or thinking about, okay, how is this going to make it work for me, instead of just modeling or remembering or just memorizing everything again and again, or mm-hmm. adding more to it. Sometimes mm-hmm. we add too much to our plate when we need to stick down back to the basics, you know?
Oh, and, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm definitely guilty of that, as you know, mm-hmm. with my, you know, current, you know, training, I still am holding on and want to, you know, quote unquote, complete my previous training. So, you know, I still work on the material from my original school. One, you know, just because I spent a lot of work learning yep. that, and I don't want to lose it.
Yeah.
And then there's an element of, I want to, you know, kind of combat test it, so to speak. I want to, you know, apply the principles and things that I'm learning now.
And that's awesome, because then you'll be able to try to make it better. So then when you look to doing it or perpetuating it on, you're just going to add that extra flavor or that mm-hmm. extra element that they probably will need, or everybody will need.
Yeah.
And that's what I love, is like, we need to have more confidence and more belief in ourselves, right? To be like, okay, I'm understanding this. Now let me see how much more I can understand, or how much farther I can go.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Love that.
So I'm curious if you're familiar with a show called Kitty Kai, not the Cobra Kai, but there is a show called Kitty Kai. Kitty Kai. So it is a reality show where they follow. Kitty Kai. You can find it on Discovery Plus or Max or HBO Max, whatever they call it now. But it is a reality show that follows some martial arts schools, and they're on the East Coast in the North Carolina kind of area. They have these schools, and they're trying to have a competition of who's got the best students, and they all kind of go to each other's tournaments and whatnot. And it's a very interesting watch, in that there's just very kind of interesting personalities and just kind of the stories of the kids and whatnot that they're going through. So I highly recommend that martial arts school instructors take a look at it and want to get that out there, because I definitely have been itching to have conversations with people about this show. It's only one season, and I don't know if they're going to do another one.
I'll definitely take a look at it, because it was kind of interesting when everybody got so crazy about the Cobra Kai. We ended up getting a lot of students, you know, and it was fun to be able to talk to them about, like, you know, the difference between, you know, with all my heart, I will use my war and shield, but I pray I don't have to, you know, not necessarily, yeah, exactly. You know, we're learning and teaching how to get everybody all crazy on it.
So I'm kind of curious as to, you know, with the popularity of like MMA and, what kind of effect has that, have you maybe seen with students or potential students, you know, back in the day when people joined a martial arts school, they kind of had the idea of the Karate Kid and, you know, Mr. Miyagi and that sort of thing. And now I suspect a lot of people come to a school with the mindset of, oh, well, I'm going to be, you know, Conor McGregor or, you know, whatever, you know, UFC fighter is today. And there's not the same, I don't know, respect or just that kind of, you know, peaceful way. It's more about the showboating and, you know, the combat aspect of it. And so, you know, as an instructor, do you see a lot of people coming in with that mindset, and you have to kind of steer them towards, you know, hey, like, this is, you know, this is an art for peace and not for, you know, not for dollars or
yes, you know. And it is hard because nowadays, like, you're talking right here, and it gets kind of crazy because you got the business aspect, right, of Kenpo or of any martial arts. You got the business aspect, and then you also have the instructional aspect of it. Like, and a lot of times what we do now, and I have found that, I do ask them right up at front, and we usually give the first class free when they talk to us about it. And I'm like, come and see if it's a win-win, you know, because sometimes if you do have somebody coming with this opportunity or this thing that they want to, all they want to do is punch on the bag and put on the sparring stuff and spar every night, they're going to be very disappointed, right? But if, and then you have others, not that we don't do that sometimes, right? But it's not all about that, like you're saying. And then other times you have some that are coming, like I just had a student last night, and some of my students are this summer, I try to do something fun, and they're working the star block with all the angles, right? And if they pass it off for me on this next assessment task, they get a butterfly knife, which is a blank training butterfly knife. It's not a real knife. But one of the parents of one of our new students was not comfortable with that at all. So you have some that really want it. They want the weapons. They want the whole shebang. They want it, like, yeah, they just want to get it all going. And then you have the others like, no, I want this to be more of a discipline. I want this more of that whole diffusing of the fight. So, and so you want to meet everybody's needs and wants and desires, because you don't want to, like, you want to help them with their passion. And so we've had to, like, actually incorporate different classes for that. And because we have a very wide range. Like, I have 4-year-olds, and then I do a daytime class that I have, you know, people that are like 60s in their 60s, you know? And I mean, I have some that struggle with their equilibrium and balance, but what a perfect thing for them to work on. Because they have strengths in other areas and all that Kenpo training, even though maybe they might not move like this other person, they're being able to learn and grow just as good, you know? So I don't know. I think that we just have to keep talking to them. And a lot of times I don't plan an agenda. I know a lot of instructors do that. I wait and I read the room. I try, and this is the only way I've been taught from my instructors and other people that I've gone to different seminars I picked up on. They flow. They see who's there. They get a feeling for what they need in their Kenpo or their martial arts journey and life journey. And that's what they capitalize on. And for me, that has been the biggest, like, hardest thing to learn how to do as an instructor, but I love that. And even though I've gotten hard on him, because I had one that like literally would not bend his knees, like would not get down in a stance. And I'm like, okay, I got my stick and I'm making it fun. You know, I'm not going to like beat him with a stick. Right. But like, I'm like tapping him with the stick, like get down in your stance. And at first the mom was like, and he had a meltdown. And I said, it's okay, Sam, walk out the room for a minute, get your composure. And when you're ready, come back. And you know what? Literally, he's been the best. That was the best thing to do for that kid. And it was just came to me. I didn't like, I wasn't trying to pick on him. I was tapping other kids too. I wasn't just bugging on him. But to him, it took him to that total breakdown. And he had to go get his composure, stop crying, and come back. And he's only like 8. I'm not, you know, I'm not about like trying to be mean, but he actually respects me more. He comes to class. He listens. He pays more attention. Before, he was all over the room and just crazy and I couldn't even control him hardly. You know what I mean? And his mom wanted to defend him, you know, at first, but then she finally like, I finally said, well, let's just play it out and we'll see. And now she sees, okay, he needed that. And now he's doing better about listening to her too. So
excellent.
It's a big thing. It's a fine line. And I think as instructors, if we just find out where we push and where we don't. And then we do have to follow up with a lot of love, you know, and we got to remember that they came, they're paying us money, right? To make them better. They're not paying us money to get a belt level or this or that.
Exactly.
And my biggest thing, especially with the Olympics, I've been telling the kids, especially, and even to myself, we don't have to be the best unless we're going to the Olympics and trying to win the Olympics, right? We just have to be better and better and better each day. And that's why like our school, our name is Ultimate Impact, you know, like impact them. But to me, the ultimate impact that we make on others, what do I bring to the room? I can make an ultimate impact. I can make it for bad and I can make it for good. And I want to choose to do good. And I'm hoping others will choose to do good.
Excellent. Excellent. I like that. So I've got a few little kind of fun questions here as we close in on our closing here. The first one being, do you have a favorite technique?
Well, I must say Flight to Freedom is one because it blew my mind to be like, okay, this is real. I can make this happen. The other one I love is Five Swords, probably mostly just the beginning part of it, because it can be so powerful. And I don't know, I like Dance of Death because it's a takedown. Wait, there's some that I really don't like at all, like Taming the Bear, anything from behind you. People keep telling me the ones that you hate the most, those are the ones that you really have to like work on, because that fear of something coming behind me. Oh my gosh, like it used to make me pee my pants when someone would grab me and push me like that, you know, like literally and I'm just like, okay, but I've overcome that. I look back in the day and I'm thinking, oh man, I did overcome part of that. So obviously I'm, you know, I'm progressing in my own personal and I hope I can help others now on that. That's probably a lot. I really do love the knife. When I was younger, like I was all about Rambo. Like I had a big poster of him in my room and like I had my own Rambo knife. And so me, it's scary. And so you talk about the Cali, like that's, become one with the knife, you know, and we've had a couple people come who have trained with that and I haven't explored it. And I don't get me wrong, I'm not the best with the knife, but I enjoy thinking, hey, how can I defend myself against a knife or against a weapon? And how can I do it just being a normal mom or a grandma with my grandkids or see something at the school happening, you know? How am I going to react to that? And I think that that's important. It's super important in our day and age to be prepared. Not that I want to use a knife on anybody. I would never want to. Like I'm more of that definitely peaceful warrior. I don't know. Kind of fun.
Sounds good. Do you have a favorite form and or set?
I like finger set. It's kind of interesting because you can even do the finger set with the knife.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of cool. Yeah, I would say that those were my favorite. Just because it, like, again, it pushed me past a limit. Does that make sense? Like,
yes.
It made me think what you're doing. What are you doing and why are you doing it?
Gotcha. if there is anyone that you could train with, living or dead, fictional or non-fictional, who would that be?
My, ooh, that's hard. Yeah, there are so many.
Yeah, you can do.
I don't know. I mean, I recently followed a podcast for Andrea Harkins, and I don't even know if she does Kempo. I mean, but I love listening to her passion and everything like that. Like me and her have a good form, and I have been on one of her podcasts and I listen to a lot of hers kind of like that. And she would be something really, somebody that I think I would. And I think I would love to be in the hands of Ed Parker because he's so huge and I'm very small. I'm only 5'5", right? And that perspective, everybody always tells me so many stories about him. And he wasn't part of my journey at all. I wasn't ever got to start. Well, he is because he's part of my lineage, but that's about it. So,
yeah. No, I can, you know, certainly relate to that. And, you know, that's kind of one of the things about, you know, doing this podcast is, you know, getting to talk to some of the people that have, you know, trained with him directly or, you know, spent time with him directly. You know, as the years go on, unfortunately, you know, we're losing some of the original folks, and, you know, so hopefully we can, you know, try and get as many of those stories and those you know, insights before they're gone. And
well, it was really fun because I was talking with Herb and he has had a lot of opportunity and he's a first generation through Paul Mills. And then he also did stuff with Ed Parker and it's been interesting to hear a lot of stories. That's why I'm excited to give you a good list of some of these guys that actually have that opportunity. And that's why it sparks it in me like, wow, that's kind of cool. And they were the founders of American Kempo, you know, and now look at how much branches out from that. There's so many people that connect to that and they've gone forward. That's what we need to look at, right? We need to see the future. We need to see what gone forward. Sometimes I think we look too much into the past and like all this old school, like back in the day, you know, and I get it. They really whopped on each other. Right. I mean, now we can't let our students do as much as that. It seems like, or we wouldn't have any students. Right. But on the other hand, boy, they really pressure tested so many things for us, for our benefit today. For us to learn from.
Exactly. All right. It's now kind of the last one I've got here. So since Ed Parker was very much a fan of jokes and whatnot, I'm wondering, do you have a joke that you'd like to share with us?
Okay. I do love that. Okay. So my favorite one is, who is the best karate instructor?
Who's that?
A spider web. You don't get it? So when you walk into a spider web, you walk into that spider web and you are like all over. You see your muscle memory kick in. You actually react. Like all of a sudden, what is that reaction? And it literally, gotcha. So to me, I think that that's, I don't know. It's not, see, obviously it's not the best joke.
No, but, it's great.
But who is that best karate instructor? I mean,
now I'm going to be swatting around at things for the rest of the day. So
a spider web.
So thank you for that. Well, yes, thank you so much for being on and telling your story. And
it's an honor. It was an honor, Reggie. Thank you. Because sometimes I feel like I'm just super low in the totem pole. And I just loved your message yesterday about like, you don't have to be a 10th degree to be on my podcast. And I'm like, yes, I'm so grateful.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know, we all have a story to tell. And just as we learn things from our teachers, our teachers can learn things from us, and nobody is above, you know, there's always something to learn. And yeah, even if you have that 10th degree, you can, there's, you know, I think it's important for us to be able to hear everyone's story.
That round table, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And, you know, be able to unify the people. And, you know, I don't want to get into the politics and the drama of
oh, yeah, Kenpo, we're over, you know, it, right?
Not just Kenpo. Yeah. Not just Kenpo. In all the other arts, there's all kinds of drama about how things should be.
Oh, yeah, we have plenty of drama. And I just love that we can put it behind us. We don't need it. We don't need the drama. Let's remember all the good that happened for these people that are practicing. They were on their journey. Everybody's going to make mistakes. And now we can just learn from their mistakes. And that's the biggest teacher right there.
Exactly.
We should be grateful that they did the mistakes and we're not having to do that mistake of all the drama.
Exactly. Exactly. So before we close out, this is your time for shameless self-promotion, or if there's any other things that I wanted to bring up or anything you wanted to say, now's the time to get it out there.
Well, like I said, we just started a new Kenpo Alliance. It's called Ultimate Impact American Kenpo Alliance. It's in the four runnings. Like, we're still working on the website. It's uiaka.com. And we have just started a YouTube channel. There are going to be some videos that are public to everybody. And there's going to be some that are going to be behind a paywall if you want more. We've just enjoyed being able to finally, like, be okay about, like, putting out videos that aren't the best emotion. And we get a lot of criticism. Like, there's videos of me, like, I'm not doing the best, but I'm at least doing something. I'm not just sitting on my butt trying not to try something hard, super hard, and want to just try to give people permission, like how you're giving people permission to share their light, to share their love, to share their passion. And that's why we're creating it. So we can give people more opportunity to teach a seminar or come and, you know, put on their own seminar, let alone, or do their own podcast, like what you're doing. Exactly. So kudos to you. Like, I just love it. You're just out there and this is amazing. You're going to gain so much knowledge and you're sharing it all with us. So I'm super excited to hear what you have coming up. And yeah, let's just keep this energetic connection with everybody. It's beautiful.
Awesome. 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 Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And, we will, I will, let you know when this is, ready to go out, and, we will keep in touch and keep the fires burning and keep sharing with everyone. So, thank you again for your time.
You bet. Thank you, Reggie.